I like to see Brother Walker here. He's open carrying that six shooter on there, on his side there. Amen. You better watch out. Now, I don't know though. There's a lot of sleeper agents out here that are carrying that you don't know about. Amen. And praise God. Whew. Something ever will happen in here and just duck. Just duck. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 22. I'm looking forward to today. I'm looking forward to this week with the Walkers, and we praise the Lord for it. So right after service today, when I'm done preaching, those that are involved with VBS, those that are sticking around for it, we'll be eating together over in the gym, and then we'll come back over in here for the start of VBS, and we praise the Lord for that. So we'll have the first one this afternoon, and then we'll have Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and looking forward to that. Wednesday night will be the big carnival outside, Lord willing. Brother Walker, it's supposed to be awfully hot this week, and so we're looking forward to that on the buses, amen, and on the carnival, and praise God, amen. We're going to lose some weight this week, sweating, amen. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. Genesis chapter 22. Now, this is the passage that God tells Abraham to offer up his son, the son of promise, the son of his old age, that he gave to Abraham and to Sarah after the time that a woman would be able to give birth. And God gave that to them, Isaac. And God asked him here in Genesis 22 to offer him in sacrifice back to the Lord. That's crazy, isn't it? Wait a minute, isn't that? That's just ludicrous. Wait a minute. No, it's not when you consider that God, I'm just going to move this out of the way a little bit. God was, sorry, Brother Jones. I'm always breaking microphones. He'll forgive me. Amen. Moving on. All right. And so it's not crazy when you consider the fact that Jesus, that God was preparing to do the same thing with Jesus. Why? Wait a minute. What are you talking about? Sin has consequences. Sin has consequences. I know that people don't want to acknowledge that today. I know that they want to shy away from that, but sin has consequences. The Bible is so very clear. The wages of sin is death. It's death. That's why it was necessary for Jesus to die. It was necessary. James chapter 1 says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So this is not too out of line. But Abraham, he's known this his whole life, but not his own son here. He's known the sacrifice. See, God taught man that one day the Savior would come, the Messiah would come to die on the cross. But until that point, he had to do some teaching. He had to teach them the law and teach them what sin was and their understanding of that, the fact that they were sinners and that they were to take a little animal, a lamb, and shed its blood and lay it on the altar and sacrifice that, a life given for a life, because the wages of sin is death. It was necessary. And Abraham had known that his whole life up until now, when God said, I want you to give me your son. I want you to give me your son. It was required. A just God does not change. He is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't look at one person and say, well, I'll bend the rules for that one and not bend them for over here. He says, what I said is my word and I will not change. When he told Adam and Eve, in the day ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. They did. Spiritually died in that garden. And then because of their sin, of course, their body began to break down and all of that. And physically one day they would die as well. But praise God, now praise God, for the substitute. That Jesus Christ took your place and he took my place on the cross, that substitutionary sacrifice that I needed, amen, that you needed. He took my place. That's what the lamb represents in the Old Testament. A lamb being killed and put on the altar and sacrificed to God in substitute for man. And here he's asked for Isaac. Of course, it was a time of testing for Abraham. You saw that in verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham." That word tempt there means God doesn't tempt man with evil, but he does test man with his faith. And that's what's happening here. You see, in Abraham, do you believe? Do you believe me? Hadn't God already promised Abraham that in his seed, he'd make of him a great nation through his seed, his only son Isaac? So wait a minute, he had another son. Wait a minute, yeah. A son of his flesh that he raced to try to do it for God. And God said, "No, I'm giving you a son that you know it only came from me. He only came from me because it's a son of your own age, or of your old age, rather." And so the substitute, of course, this passage, they go up the mount together and they have the wood and the fire. And Isaac says, "But Daddy, where's the lamb?" And he says, "God will provide himself a lamb." And he believed. And then, of course, they're up there on the mount and everything's ready. He's got him laid out there on the altar and the knife in his hand raised. And God had a ram in the thicket right behind him. We read that in this passage right here. What do you say, a ram? I thought you were talking about a lamb, preacher. A ram is a male sheep. Just like a ewe is a female sheep. And a lamb is a baby, whether it be male or female there, but Jesus Christ, picture of him, he would be an adult man when he was sacrificed on the cross. Masculine. And so this ram was in the thicket. But today, we understand this passage. We know most of us in here would understand what's going on in this passage. Today's focus is Abraham. Is Abraham. It's a big moment for him. Of course he's a man of faith. Of course he's a man that believed God. Of course he's a man, he's called the friend of God. He had a good relationship, a close relationship with the Lord. And yet this moment will be the peak of it all. The peak of, does he really believe what he says he believes? Does he really believe in the God that he says he believes in? This will be the peak of it all. And so today, as we look at Moriah here, this mount that he ascends, it's the peak of surrender. The peak of surrender. Now, as we talk about this word surrender, I want to read you some definitions of it. We understand what surrender means. And Brother Walker this week, I don't know, way out west, if the bad guys will need to surrender or whatnot, right? What does that mean? Well, the definitions say this: to yield, to give up authority over a possession or yourself. To relinquish in favor of another. That's what surrender means. And here we know he's tested. Will he surrender? Now surrender, if you think about, where are you going with this? Surrender equals faith. Because Abraham believed God, believed his promise, believed the fact that he said, "Abraham, I'm going to make of thee a great nation. In Isaac will your seed be called," here. And he tells them that over and over and over again. And Abraham believed God. And because he believed, he surrendered to him. You know the story. You know the passage. If you don't, read in there. Read this today. How he calls the place Jehovah Jireh. Means God has provided. God will provide. And God did. God came through because Abraham had faith. He believed God. He surrendered to him because of his faith. Because I believe God, whatever the Lord asks of me, I'm going to do it. I'm surrendered. That's what's going on here. Has God ever failed on one of his promises? Never once. You can't find one promise in the scripture that God's given that he's failed on. Not one. Not one. Abraham has watched God fulfill his promises all the way to this point, but this is a whole nother one on a whole nother level. A whole nother level. Can you imagine God telling you, "Sacrifice your child, give him back to me"? Wow. It's a whole nother level. But because God is perfect, because He is perfect, His promises are true and they're always kept. They're always kept. So the promise that God had made to Abraham way back yonder, that in Isaac will your seed come, that through Isaac, the son of promise, that I'm going to make of thee a great nation, he believed God that his promise would still be real. Do you think maybe that Abraham was thinking, well, is God going to raise him back up from the dead? I mean, he could have done that. After he gave his son, he could have raised him back up. But we know that's not what took place. I wonder when he had his hand up with a knife, he had raised the knife, he was ready to go. You think he was quivering a little bit? Whew. Can you imagine that? What faith Abraham is showing here. Moriah, the peak of surrender. Today I want to show you three things here in the Scripture. I'm going to talk to you about he was surrendered based off of his faith in God. Today I want you to see the way of his faith. I want you to see the word of his faith. And I want you to see the work of his faith. And I want to show you this in the Scripture. Moriah, the peak of surrender. First, I want you to see the way of his faith. Look at verse 1 again, would you please? Verse 1 here says, this is Genesis 22:1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Now, wait a minute. After these things. After what things? Wait a minute. Why did it say that? After what things? Well, wait a minute. Let's talk about it. Didn't God say, Abraham, chapter 12, I want you to leave your daddy's house. I want you to come out of your kindred and your land. And I want you to follow me to a land that you don't know. And I'm going to show you where you're going, but you don't know where that is yet. That was after these things. See, God had called Abraham to come out from his home. Wait a minute. That was a test of faith, was it not? Of course it was. Now, it was nothing compared to Moriah, but it was still an act of the way of his faith. Here's the way. God has baby steps for us. And we start stepping, and we start stepping, and listen, he increases our faith along the way. You know what the ground floor is down here? You know what this is? God says, believe on me that I died for you, that I can save you, and receive me as your Savior. That's ground floor. That's where faith begins. And then the next thing is, believe me when I said, in obedience, I want you to get in the waters of baptism. Why? Because it's showing on the outside what God's done on the inside. Amen. Amen. We still believe in baptism around here, do we not? That's what the Bible teaches. It's not the price for salvation, but it is the proof of salvation. As you're obeying God, hey, God did this on the inside, and I want to show it by following Him in baptism. Amen. And then God increases our faith. You should join a local church. God instituted the church for believers. Amen. Amen. Come on now. That's right. And then I take another step. Hey, wait a minute. God wants me to live holy, separated from the world. He wants me to come out from sin and not dwell in Egypt. He wants me to dwell in holiness like He is holy. Amen. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Amen. Wait a minute. He wants me to give 10% of my increase? It's like a cuss word now. It's a tithe. Ah! That's a step of faith and obedience to God. Amen. God, you want me to serve you? You want me to serve? You want me to get up here dressed like crazy in front of a bunch of kids? You want me to drive a bus? Now, I mean, if we're talking about Brother Jones, that's big faith. I mean, you know, I've seen him drive, okay? Some of y'all, listen now, come on now. But that's a step of faith. The way of his faith. God doesn't ask you, he's not asking Abraham here to sacrifice his son for number one. He down here, he said, I want you to just leave your home and I want you to follow me. And then he asked another thing, right? And Abraham said, well, I'm coming into this land, but those well-watered plains over there, that's not what God has for me, because I'm supposed to be separate from the world. I'm not supposed to get over there near Sodom, so I'm going to stay over here. And we know Lot did, but Abraham didn't. Amen. And then remember the kings from the north came down and captured those cities around the Dead Sea there, the Salt Sea there, and took them captive, and Lot was taken captive. And Abraham took his best men and ran after them and got them and conquered them. And he had all these spoils of war. You know what he did? He gave them back to Sodom. And the king of Sodom tried to give him some things. He says, "No, I don't want your gifts. I don't want your gifts. I don't want people to think that I owe you something or that you've given me something." That was a step of faith. A man coming back from war and all these goodies and all these gifts. How about the next one? You know, as he continues to stay faithful, and even with Lot down there in Sodom. And he loved his boy and he prayed for him. Remember that? When the angels came for him, I believe that one being a pre-incarnation of Jesus Christ. And as he was praying to that angel there, the Lord Jesus, asking and begging for Lot and his family. Listen now, God had brought him up to this point, the way of faith. The way of faith. I want you to see in the text here, I want you to see the word place. Please, look with me if you would. I'll read verse 2 and 3, but it's in verse 3. Look, and he said, verse 2, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of." And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Verse 4, "Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off." I want you to think about that. He's prepared to follow God. He had to get some things ready. He had to get some wood. He had to get the animal. He had to get his young men. He had to get some things ready. And then he starts traveling. And for 3 days they've been traveling. 3 days. You think as he's traveling, he knows his God. He knows, he believes in his God. But I can't imagine being a daddy, knowing what's coming, knowing what God's asked me to do, to climb that mount and sacrifice my boy. And I haven't told him yet because I believe God was going to intervene, but we haven't got to that point yet. And you think his feet were a little heavy as he was walking? You think in his mind, he probably knew what Moriah looked like. He had been through that region before. He'd been through the mountains when he first came in the land there, Mamre and others, as he was coming down the mountain range. And he was living in the south at this point. He probably knew what the region looked like. I think it was in his thoughts. It was in his mind. Maybe it was in his dreams at night. Maybe it had a picture of it. But he's going anyway because he believes God. And he's going towards this place, the place that God had told him to go. And he's moving in faith on this thing. Now, Moriah means foreseen of Jehovah. Foreseen of Jehovah. You know, God knew about this place long before Abraham was ever alive. God knew about this place long before the foundations of the world were put together. God created. The Bible clearly says, I had it written down here and done missed it. I guess he didn't want that. Amen. Moving on. And so God knew before the foundations of the world, the Bible says multiple times that he knew what was going to take place. As soon as sin entered the world, God said, "I have a Messiah. I have a Redeemer. The serpent's head will be bruised, but the Messiah's heel will be bruised at the same time. It's gonna happen. There will be victory. I will send a son." Eve thought it was going to be her firstborn son. She thought Cain was going to be, "I've received a man from the Lord." She was already thinking that God was going to do that in their firstborn. But God said, "No, it's not time yet. It's not time yet." God knew what he was going to do. He knew the place. He knew where he was sending Abraham. He knew when he called him out from that beginning what he was going to ask of him at this point. God has foreseen this. God knew that Jesus Christ would have to go to the cross. It's very interesting. There's a lot of passages in the Scripture that give us an understanding of what Calvary meant to Jesus. Okay, Psalm 22, very clear prophecy of the cross. right? And all that Jesus would go through. Psalm 69, another one. How about Isaiah 53, another one? These promises of the Lord and these prophecies of the Lord and seeing what Jesus is going to go through, what it's going to mean to Jesus. But yet there's one passage here in Genesis 22 that really shows us what Calvary means to the Father. We don't think about that often. When we're talking about Calvary, when we're thinking about it, when we're dwelling on it, we'll have communion another week and we'll think through all the sacrifice that the Lord's done for us. But we don't think really about the heart of the Father through that process. Can you imagine being the Heavenly Father and watching your boy led to the slaughter, spit on, beat, covered his face and just pounded on him with the weight of a man, weight behind that punch, and well, as they buffeted him, that's what that means. And all the torture and the cat of nine tails and all of that, and then that big wooden cross laid on his, on those open wounds there of his flesh. All of those things, the mocking, and the Father stand back in heaven just watching that take place. Here we see, Moriah here, we see a picture of a father taking his boy up the mount, knowing what's coming. Can you imagine the father when Jesus was in Gethsemane and he began to be sore amazed, very heavy, the Bible says, as he started to sweat drops of blood. It was so heavy upon him that the capillaries in his skin started to bust and it was actually coming out his sweat glands. It was so much on the Savior, and the Father's just watching that. Just watching that. He says, Abba, Father, let this cup pass from me. And the Father has to stand and watch that. This is my boy. This is my only son. Abraham had an understanding of that as he was climbing that mount. Had an understanding of these things. Imagine that. Secondly, I want you to see the word of his faith. We saw the way of his faith as he's headed toward this mount, but we've seen the word of his faith. Look at verse 6, if you would, please. The word of his faith. He says, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, verse 6, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father. Watch this. And he said, my father? And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Can you imagine that? He's been really and honestly, he's flesh and blood, Abraham is, just like you and I, and he's headed towards this place. He can see it in his mind. He's concerned about what's coming. Even if he believed God was going to raise him from the dead, he still had to go through the process. Still had to do something that would be outside of his comfort zone, outside of what he could ever imagine. And he's coming, and now they've gotten to the base of the mount, and they've left the donkey, and they left the servants, and they're headed up the mount. And Isaac, he's got all that wood, and he's carrying that wood. And daddy's got the fire, and his mind starts racing. Probably the concern starts coming over his face. Daddy, here's the wood. Here's the wood you asked me to carry. You got the fire, but we're missing something big here. We're missing the whole point to why we're going up here. Where's the lamb, Daddy? Where's the lamb? And Abraham says to his boy, listen now, he says to his boy, God will provide a lamb. Amen. God will provide one. Look at that next verse here. Verse number 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And they went both of them together. Now, I find it's interesting. I think every word in the Bible is important, every single word. You notice it didn't say God will provide a lamb. It said God will provide himself a lamb. Himself. You say, well, we could use that, and yeah, God will provide. The offering's going to him. He's providing for himself here. Yes, but I think it's so far more meaning. I believe God put that word himself in there for such a time right there to say this is a picture of Calvary, of what Jesus Christ will go through because it is required. And I will be that sacrifice, that substitutionary sacrifice for you. The word of his faith. Can you imagine the thoughts? Can you imagine? Of course, a boy's going with his daddy. I don't believe he's a little lad here. He's probably an adult man at this point. If not, he's a strong teenager. We're trying to understand that and assume it a little bit, but he's not a little boy. He's not an infant here at this point. So he's carrying the wood and he's going this journey. He's on a camping trip with daddy. And they're going to worship the Lord together. And he's been excited. And now, as they're getting closer to it, his mind's wondering, his concern's on his face, his eyes are starting to get a little big. I'm sweating a little bit. Wait a minute, I know Abraham, my daddy, is a friend of God. And I know he's about to do what God's asked him, and I don't see a lamb. I'm starting to get a little worried. And yet his daddy, through all those emotions, spoke truth to him. The word of his faith. When he hadn't seen the lamb, but he believed God, he knew what God was going to do, and he said, my boy, God's going to provide himself a lamb. And he spoke words, his word of faith there to his boy. I wonder if there'd be some parents in here today, some parents, some mommies and daddies, that wouldn't put all the weight of the world upon their children. And these children are innocent yet. And they don't need to know all the concerns and all the stress and all the weight that the adults carry. And yet they see some things and they see some struggles you go through. Wouldn't it be something that some mommies and some daddies would speak some faith to their children? Say, what? How come we're just having a piece of toast for dinner? Where's the meat? And I don't need to know everything, but listen, now you don't have to put all that stress and all that weight upon a child, but you say, you know what? God's going to provide for us. We're going to have some meat soon. We're going to have something else soon. God's going to provide a way. Listen, I don't understand exactly. It was such a big thing for me to come to you in the beginning of the year. I remember when I went to the deacons on it, that last November, December time. And I said, look, God has impressed upon me that we need to be a church of faith and start praying about our mortgage. I mean, we're $736,000 and we're praying that God pays that off in a year? Whew, I started sweating a little bit. I remember when I asked John Kidwell to pray over, he came up here and he said, Lord, I'm scared to death. Why? Because that's such a big thing. But I've got to speak words of truth. I know my God can do it. I know what His Word says. I know what God says in His Word, that if we would just have the faith of a mustard seed, we could see mountains move because God would do it. God would do it. It's time we start speaking some words of faith to our children. The daddy here speaks faith to a boy. He's concerned. His emotions. Listen, when emotions are running wild, we need faith. You're, as a friend, when your friend is struggling and is emotional and maybe they're weeping or maybe they're on the low point, they need to hear words of truth and of faith. Sure hope that you have a friend in the church here, a Christian that you can go to, and when you're down and they speak words of faith to you, words of truth from the Word of God. God said it and I believe it. Amen. You stepped out in faith at another point in your life, and then you get to a point and you're saying, man, I don't know how I'm going to be able to do this. I stepped out in faith. I believed God. He called me to do this, but yet I've come into some financial situation. Listen now. Brother Walker and I were just talking about that, I think Friday. And you know, God called me to this, so God's going to provide. You know what? We get to this point, man, we need axles under a trailer, right? You were just telling me about that. Man, we need $6,000 to replace axles. Wow, wait a minute. God called you to this? Yes, then He's going to provide. Amen. If God called you to this, then yes, He's going to provide. So what Matthew's about, Matthew chapter 6, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things. What's He talking about? He's talking about provision, clothing and food and things. He will provide. I couldn't imagine being the Williams trying to live in London. Europe is expensive, right? And trying to raise a family and them boys, I seen them eat, man, they can eat. Shoo! God will provide because we've stepped out on faith and followed Him. Listen, lastly here, the work of His faith. We've seen the way of His faith. We've seen the word of His faith. And now we see the work of His faith. What do you mean the work of His faith? Abraham went through and did everything required of him. Listen now, he didn't cut the corners. He went up that mount. If you're reading in the text here, he went up that mount and he built an altar. You know what that meant? That meant collecting stones. Gathering stones and placing them and building an altar here. Why stones? Because wood burns. God needs some stones to build a base there. Just like the soldiers over here nearby would have grabbed stones and made a fence to hide behind 100 and some years ago, right? Well, a lot more than that now. Amen. 150 years ago. Right? In the Civil War time. And he built an altar up there, believing God. And then he laid that wood out. He probably had a little bit of kindling too. Get that fire started just right. Probably putting that kindling just right. And he's going to put the fire to it. And then he's got the wood laid just as it needs to be. Whew. And then he turns to his boy. He says, come here. He starts to bind him. Whatever that means for back here. Maybe he was wrapping his legs together. Maybe his hands together. Maybe they were, hog-tied when they wrap both of them and you put them together. I don't know, but he's binding him. No corners cut. I don't know what that boy was saying, what he was thinking. It sounds to me that he was surrendered because he followed his daddy's faith. The Bible says twice in this passage, maybe more, he said that both of them went together. That's another message in itself right there. Both of them went together. Why? The boy was believing God because he watched his daddy believe in God. Sometimes my children can have more confidence in God than I can sometimes when I'm up against something. And I'm not telling them every detail there, but they know what I've preached. They know what the Bible says. And wait a minute, did God tell us to do this? And let's do it. Believe God. Let's go. Amen. The innocence of a child. Amen. No corners were cut. This was necessary. The wages of sin is death. And Abraham was doing every single little detail. He laid him out after he bound him. He put him on that altar. I wonder how big he made the altar. Did he size it to a son? Did he size it to a lamb? How big did he make it? But he made it in faith. The work of his faith. Everything I believed is now coming into practice. And I got to do what I said I believed, so now I'm doing it. And he bound his son, laid him on the altar, and he took that knife and he had it raised up, ready to go. Ready and willing to shed the blood of his boy before offering him to God. The work of his faith. Consider God the Father. I've already discussed that a little bit about what he watched his boy go through, what he watched Jesus go through. God, because of sin, had to teach man about their sin. Had to have patience with providing Israel a place to send the Word of God through, both written and the living, they're both living, but the written and the expressed image of God, the Word of God to come through Israel. He had to have patience to have that Word of God written down, the law and all that, to understand all of it. Everything was for the purpose for man to understand they needed Jesus Christ. All of it. All the law. All of it. These things have from a child thou hast known these things that are able to make thee wise unto salvation. That's what the Bible says in the New Testament. All of that. You say, what do you mean? You're confusing me. The work of his faith. Doesn't the Bible say it's not of works? Yes. But Philippians chapter 2 says, work out your own salvation. It says that. What does that mean, preacher? Works do not buy your salvation. You don't get saved by works. But after you get saved, your faith is proven by those works. Your salvation is worked out on after you get saved. Listen now, I didn't get birthed into this world physically because I did anything. But you see me working now that I'm alive. And the Bible says, work out your own salvation. You don't get saved by works, but your salvation is proven by your good works after your salvation. My faith being made real. They're seeing my faith. And these works of Abraham, the work of his faith here, he went through it all. Now, let's make application of this and be done. Abraham was surrendered because he had faith in God. The way of his faith, the word of his faith, and the work of his faith, because he was surrendered. He believed God and was surrendered to him. I ask you this morning, are you surrendered to God? Are you surrendered? Well, I think I am. I mean, fully surrendered. Fully surrendered. How about your way of faith? You know where it starts? It starts with getting saved. The way of your faith starts with getting saved. And God said, you're going one way, and those wages of sin is death. Listen now, you're going one way. But I've made provision, I've made a substitute, so you don't have to go that way. Listen now. So that you can be saved if you would just believe the Scriptures and trust and say, Lord, I believe it. What's the Bible say? That that with our mouth that confess the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead. But the heart is where you believe, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Right? I know you got saved because you confessed it, but you got saved on the inside when you believed. For by grace are you saved through faith. That's where it begins. Your faith begins at salvation. Have you surrendered that to the Lord? Because there's so many people that are just wrapped up in pride. Listen now, thinking, well, my good works, I can get to heaven. God's not going to turn me away. You know what I've done for Him? Listen, I'm not here to hurt anybody. I understand a lot of you are saved out of the Catholic realm and all that, but can you imagine the Pope? Works will not save you. You imagine somebody, preacher, whatever denomination or whatever, but just believing that his good works are going to get him to heaven? The way of your faith. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Have you surrendered your pride? That you can't get to heaven on your own. That only God can save you. Have you surrendered your pride? Man is not justified by the works of the law. Galatians says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. In other words, you can't do a little bit more and say, well, I'm going to get in because of this. No, it's not by your works. It's only by Jesus Christ. Now, I ask you beyond that, after salvation, have you surrendered in obedience? You know, those folks along here, you've been saved. Listen now, you've been saved. I know there's a lot of folks coming and going today. It's just one of those days, okay? But I'm asking you to right up here. Listen, don't be distracted from this. Watch this now. Listen now, God wants you to be saved. And you know what? After you get saved, God said, listen now, He wants you to take some more steps of faith. There's folks in here who are saved, never been baptized. Doesn't the Bible say, talk about baptism? Yes. The very Great Commission says, we go out and we teach them how to get saved and then we baptize them. But you're not forced under there. You're held down under the water. It's got to be your faith to believe God and be obedient. There's people been saved and baptized, but you're not a part of any local church. Did God create the church? Did He start the church to just let it hang out there? And no, He gave it to us to be a part of. The church is the people. Amen. God works through His church. And I know there's so many extra curricular things out there and all these other things, but God starts with His church. He instituted His church. He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Because why I'm in this thing. God's part of the local church. That's why Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church is so important. We as the people of faith moving forward with the Lord. Are you sharing your words of faith? First of all, are you a gospel witness? Amen. You get saved. Listen now. That guy, that maniac of Gadara, after he got saved, he was in his right mind. He was clothed. Praise the Lord. He had clothes on. Amen. In the summertime, we ought to talk about that a minute. He got his clothes on. Amen. Come on, that's obedience to the Lord, being holy. Amen. Moving on. That didn't go over too well, did it? Summertime. Well, I got to get my tan on. Show me that in the Bible. Amen. Moving on. Word of faith. How about the work of faith? Talk is easy, but it's another thing to do what you say you believe. Abraham was a great example to us. And God provided a lamb because Abraham believed. He got all the way up there and he saw the miracle of God. I read something, and I'm going to misquote it. It was something about Israel this week. I was reading about it. And somebody said something about just the miracles that are taking place for Israel all throughout time. You can't look at that. You can't look at that and be an atheist. There is a God in heaven that has His hand upon that nation. Amen. And it's got His hand upon the nation that backs them. Amen. Praise the Lord for it. Hallelujah for what took place yesterday. Amen and amen. Now, I don't know what took place yesterday. I'm talking about taking out some things, some threats against Israel and the rest of the world. Bunker busters or whatever they called them. Amen. Praise God for it. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, help us today, please. Lord, there's somebody in here this morning that's not saved. Lord, You labored that very, very, very much this morning. Somebody in here is not saved. If they were to die today, they don't know if they would go to heaven. Lord, they don't have that confidence. They don't know that for sure. Somebody in here today needs to say, what must I do to be saved? Like that Philippian jailer, Lord. What must I do to be saved? I pray now, Lord, as we go into this invitation time, as they are invited to come and learn what the Bible says about getting saved, I pray that they'd have the faith to step out of the aisle, come down and say, I need to get saved. Lord, I pray for those that are hanging on to their pew. They've been saved, but they're fearful and not sure of, do I do this next step? Is this really what God wants me to do? But Lord, God, thank You for Abraham and his example. And I pray that You'd work in us. Lord, somebody here today has never been baptized. They've been saved, but they've never taken that step of obedience and baptism. Maybe they've not joined the church. Maybe it's another thing. Maybe God's calling, Lord, somebody here requiring something of an individual this morning that is not, that's, they've not done it yet. They've not said yes yet. God, I pray that they would have the faith today, Lord, to bring it to the altar. Lord, thank You for what You're already doing. We ask Your blessing, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going